Revolutionary talk for revolutionary times. Liberty Talk FM.
It's a marvelous night for a moon dance, with the stars up above in your eyes. A fantabulous night to make romance, neath the cover of October skies. You know the leaves on the trees are falling.
What's up, everybody? Welcome aboard to the Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz, and fresh back from upstate New York and the other side of the border up at Niagara Falls. Our good friend, Mike Brown, Coach Mike Brown from Brown Capital, or you can go to his website at browncapital.org. What is up, Coach Brown?
Hey, Todd. How are you today?
I'm doing great. So tell me about the trip first. I know that you did. You went and saw some of the stuff of the Revolutionary War, because we could have another Revolutionary War here one of these days. So tell us what you saw up in upstate New York.
We started, as you said, in Niagara Falls. We went to... We started at Fort, then went to Fort Stanwix, went to the Battle of Oriskany, which was where the militia held off a British column, and they were led by a man named Herkimer. And we visited his home. Then we went to Fort Ticonderoga, which I highly recommend. If you haven't been there and you live anywhere near, you should really go to Fort Ticonderoga. It's privately held. They have people living at the fort who live in the day-to-day garb of the period. And then we went to the Battle of Saratoga and then West Point. So, first time I'd ever been to West Point. What an amazing place.
Pretty cool area up there, I'll tell you. I mean, you know, I know a lot of kids that actually go to school there that have, over the last... a number of years, obviously a great place, and they fought for our country, and of course, at this point, now we're not getting the same fight for our country. Now we have a little bit of a mess. Any chance in your mind that there could ever be another revolution in this country?
You know, it's certainly possible. Some of the founding fathers obviously advocated for it. Thomas Jefferson being one. Of course, we had the Civil War, which was, you know, the rebels. I hope not. I hope that the political process works, so you don't have to have loss of life to affect change. But it's certainly, very possible. I don't know if you watched the debate, but I did last Thursday, and I liked several of the candidates. I feel positive about the process going forward. So.
Well, do you think that, I mean, one of the biggest things I believe about the political process right now is a lot of it's broken down, the way we do things, the mechanism in which they create more entitlements. And of course, we've got, you know, Obama building his own army of Democrats by giving them more benefits and, you know, saying, hey, well, work 2 years a year, 2 hours every 2 years, you come out and vote and you're done and you go home. But, you know, the middle class is always the target of the worst amount of things that can happen. And really, the middle class is really the driver of any economy. But of course, I think the middle class does not get out to vote enough to affect change. What do you think?
That certainly was the case in the last election, because you saw, I mean, really why he won that over Romney, who he was trailing in the polls, was they got the vote out better than the Republicans did. I think the middle class, and I'm speaking for myself at this point, is fed up. There's no governing going on. I mean, it's just gridlock there. And part of it, you know, it starts with the president. If you're gonna be president, then you need to lead. And he refuses to lead. You know, his comment last week, you know, comparing the Republican Party to Iran, you know, the office should be above that. And unfortunately, he denigrated the office. And it's sad, but it'll be good to see him go.
Yeah, I mean,
I think a lot of the problems and a lot of the animosity that's going on right now is personality driven by him. I think that's who he is. And of course, you know, people voted for him twice. For whatever reason, they, you know, idealistic, they want to change, et cetera. You got none of that. You got Chicago politics written on a national level.
Yeah,
it's been ugly.
It would have been nice, and he has become one of the most antagonistic presidents of all time. And I mean, he did have one good idea, which was to, you know, rebuild America, but of course he couldn't get that through. But I mean, he didn't affect change. He was nothing more than the carny huckster that I thought he was 8 years ago. But you know, one of the problems also, Mike, is that, you know, government's gotten way too big, don't you think?
Oh, without question. Yeah, I mean, we need a Reagan-type candidate to come in and cut back. I mean, what people don't understand is every job you add to government is a tax. It's a tax on the people. So as you continue to expand and expand and expand, you're raising our tax. I mean, that is a tax that we all have to bear because we're paying for those people. So, yeah, government needs to be cut dramatically. I mean, since 2000, government has expanded by 50%.
Something like that.
It needs to be cut back dramatically. And we need somebody, you know, Reagan-esque. You know, maybe it's Scott Walker from Wisconsin. You know, he certainly was able to do it there and get it passed and, you know, survive the recounts. Something along those lines is what's needed right now. If we're going to get this economy rolling, you got to dial back the regulations. You know, Obamacare needs to be thrown in the trash bin of history. So we'll see, but hopefully we'll get somebody who can get that done.
Well, maybe it'll be, maybe it'll be Donald Trump. But, you know, I'll tell you the things I think that are wrong. I think, term limits are ridiculous. I think that the president himself should be 1 6-year term. Because you take out, you know, the guy gets elected and then he spends the first 2 years trying to get reelected to the next term. And they really don't get much done anymore. And why doesn't anybody have the balls to step up and say, hey, we need to change the age limits on Social Security? Now, you cannot penalize, you know, guys like you and me or people that have worked for a number of years and pushed the limits back because, you know, we've obviously worked for that and paid for that. But why can't you say, okay, everybody who's 21 and under starting today won't get benefits until you're 75 now? I mean, why can't we do that?
Oh, I think Christie put that forward. I'm trying to remember his. And I did like his performance in the debate, although I didn't think much of him beforehand. But I was intrigued by some of his ideas. He put forward moving it back a month over. Basically, you're moving it back 2 years to 67, and you do it over a 24-month period of time where, you know, the people who are coming of age even have to wait a month longer. So. Absolutely. You know, everybody under the age of 25, guess what? You don't get to draw until you're 70. You have, you know, 45 years to make a plan and adjust to that. And it would seem to make sense. And I like the, you know, if you make over $200,000 a year and you have, what was it, $4 million in liquid assets, you don't get it. I mean, it was designed to be a safety net. You know, it was not designed to... to be people's retirement plan,
right?
So I'm for all of that. If I happen to fall into that category when I'm 65, so be it. Then I've made my donation to my country.
You've already in that category, so you know it's a lot of stuff, and obviously we're not going to spend the whole day talking about politics, but there are so many changes that could be made that seems so simple to you and me and to guys like us, and it's really more of running it like a business, and you know it's sad that we have to come to this, but there are changes that could be made to, I mean, the country is still the greatest place in the world, but it could be better, and we could get back to a real economy and real things instead of this artificial manipulation that we do get. But this is the Bubba Show. I'm with my man, Mike Brown, Coach Mike Brown, but also formerly of the Dodgers, now coaching as well as financial planning and running Brown Capital. And you can check his website out at browncapital.org. Really great stuff, and he's also part of the Bubba Report that you've heard you've get from us. So make sure that you check it out, and make sure you check out thebubbashow.org. A lot of great articles. It's funny. We write about a lot of things months before they ever hit the tape, and we've actually over the last few weeks have gotten a number of comments because we've written about a lot of these things well before. Anyways, check out thebubbashow.org. This is The Bubba Show. We'll be right back after the break with more from Mike Brown, browncapital.org. Welcome back to the Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz with my friend, the coach, my man, my partner, involved with me in areas. Coach Mike Brown, Brown Capital, and that's browncapital.org. You got to check it out. I'm telling you that he does have a great feel for markets themselves and is not as many just interested in the money, but more interested in making sure you're in the right spot with your money. So make sure you go check out browncapital.org. So, Mike, we've seen some breakdown in the markets, but first let's talk about last Friday's jobs number. It's kind of a wishy-washy. It was like kind of in the middle, but I still say that the jobs suck. Now, I want your take. You're in middle America. You are it. You're down there in the farming community. You're down there in the industrial community. You're down there in the tech. I mean, you've got, in your area, there's almost every big industry within a 25-mile drive of you. What do you think? What did you take from the job number?
I thought it was, like you said, wishy-washy. It wasn't a great number, obviously. What we're seeing down here is you're seeing a lot of jobs move out of state. Hopefully, Rauner can affect some change here in Illinois, where I'm at. But right now, you're seeing jobs move through some more friendly states from a tax standpoint. So, Caterpillar's numbers have been okay, but they're suffering through the commodities meltdown that we've been experiencing for the last 12 months. So, I don't think the jobs market is great. Will they raise rates into it, which is what everybody's watching? That remains to be seen. I don't think it's September. I think it's still December before they raise rates. But, the jobs picture is not great. And part of that problem is what we talked about in the last segment, which is the over-regulation of everything. I think you've got to do away with Dodd-Frank. You're smothering the small banks who loan to the small businesses, which is where the 70% of the jobs come from. They don't come from the Fortune 500 companies. They come from the small businesses and the entrepreneurial side of this country. And right now, that's being smothered.
And I say no rate increase until at least 2016, if even then, because there's no way. We have nothing that can justify an increase now. They had their opportunity a couple of years ago. They could have let the market take it up their shorts and go down, and they would have been, we would have been coming out of it. But of course, we do have the problem with taxes, that Illinois is not a friendly state, so people are moving out, but we all also have that in the country. Because, companies like Apple have billions of dollars offshore that could be here, and certainly they would love to bring it back here and participate, but they're not going to bring it back for the rate of tax they'd have to pay. So that all becomes, a problem.
Doesn't that seem like a no-brainer, too? Let's have a tax holiday. You guys can bring it back here. We'll give you a one-off 10% corporate tax to bring it back here. Kind of like they did when they integrated the Roth IRA way back when. You have 1 year here to Roth your IRA, and the government saw a large influx of money. They'd see it again with the corporates. Let's do a one-off. You can repatriate all of those funds one time only for 10% or 15%, whatever the price may be. But it's money we're not going to see otherwise. So to me, that seems like a no-brainer. Why wouldn't you do that?
That's why I'm running for president, too. But I'm having trouble getting on the ballot.
That's why you have my vote. That is exactly why you have my vote.
Okay. Because it just makes... It's funny. It's just so simple. That it's hard to fathom that nobody can figure it out. So you mentioned something that I think is very important, and we're really kind of sweeping this under the rug as well, and that is the commodity collapse. Okay, I mean, we're at, based on the Bloomberg Index, I think that's the CRB Index, we are down at levels not seen since 2000. Now, that has a big effect on everybody. And, you can say, well, I'm going to pay less at the gas pump, but that's not always the best thing to happen to everybody. What are you thinking, and what does that mean to you, this collapse in commodities?
It's cyclical, and obviously, 2000, you're talking about a 15-year span. And I do think it's going to be a place that you're going to want to be as an investor. I'm not sure if we're at the bottom yet, but I think we are putting the bottom in place. It's very interesting, especially down here. You're seeing farm prices collapse back to $7,000 an acre. We're not seeing, reminiscent price-wise, price decline-wise of the 1980s, where you saw, acreage go for $4,000 plus an acre and then drop back to $1,600, $1,800. You know, now we saw prices in the 13,000-14,000 an acre. Now you're back around 7,000-8,000 an acre. What we're not seeing is the bankruptcies, because it's not the individual farmer this time. It's been corporations that are buying these things up, and so far they've withstood it. But you know, if we see commodity prices down here for an extended period of time, then you know you'll start to see those collapse as well. But it's certainly a very interesting time to be in those markets.
I think you're right.
Yeah, I think you're seeing, you know, last Friday some of the selling. I think you're starting to see some capitulation. You know, oil bouncing around that $44 range. I think it's a place that that's certainly worth a look if you don't have it in your portfolio now. And if you do, I think it's certainly a place that you may want to head to, because I think long term it doesn't last.
Yeah, no.
So you're seeing Saudi Arabia is running at budget deficits right now, which they have not done, you know, in decades. But they've increased their military spending because they're afraid of ISIS. They're afraid of an emboldened Iran, which is what we're getting, given the deal that we cut, which hopefully Congress rejects. I think they will, because Schumer, you know, one of the powerful Democrats out there, said he's going to vote against it. But you're seeing the Middle Eastern countries who form OPEC are running at budget deficits. And their plan was to try and break the shale producers, which they have to a certain extent. But they're also, you know, how much more pain can they take? Because they've increased their military spending to deal with an emboldened Shia regime in Iran and ISIS. And their intake from their budgets for oil is down by 50%. So I don't think that can last much longer. So I think that's a place that you certainly should take a look at.
And I agree. I did last week a webinar to teach farmers and producers how to hedge against their crops and, you know, grains and also cattle and live and feeder and hogs. But I do believe that, you know, other than cattle, I think that we are at the bottoms here, especially in the grain markets and things like that. And you saw Kellogg's had bad earnings. Now, one thing that bothers me, Mike, and you've been in this business a long time, I hate the built-in excuse. You know, when the economy is bad, every company has built-in excuses. So what was Kellogg's excuse along with everybody else's excuse? Well, the strength of the dollar has hurt us overseas. And I go, well, wait a second. If you simply hedge the dollar, I mean, the markets are certainly hedgeable. You don't have to worry about the risk of the dollar. So why do we allow that as an excuse? And what do you think?
That's certainly been the drumbeat, hasn't it? Yeah, and I don't follow Kellogg per se, but that is everybody who has missed their number, that has been their excuse. And I agree with you. You know, if you're a multinational corporation and you can't hire one or two guys or a team of guys to hedge your currency exposure, then maybe you shouldn't be leading that company. So I think that, yeah, the dollar is strong and it may remain strong. I mean, if we do start to, you know, raise rates over the next year, you know, we can certainly debate that back and forth till we're blue in the face. But right now, you know, the thought is that they're going to raise rates. And if they do, or even have the perception that they're going to, then the dollar is going to remain strong against the other currencies in the world. So, if you're doing business overseas and repatriating those currencies into dollars, you need to hedge that. And, you know, you need to be aware of it. It should not be an excuse, but it certainly has been.
Well, nobody has paid.
People have been given a pass.
Absolutely. Listen, again, these lowered earnings, these expectations have become ridiculous, but nobody gets it more, and that really, and the biggest thing that's sliding by the minds of these great experts is that because of the lowering of interest rates around us, we've effectively raised our rates already. And again, we aren't in a position to really raise rates based on, you know, all the information that's out there. Now, I believe we should just raise them and just take the bath, but that would be it. But we're not, in my opinion, again, I will stand by it. I've said it every meeting so far, and I will continue to say there will be no raising interest rates. First of all, Janet Yellen doesn't have the guts to really step up because they're all afraid of Wall Street. Why, I don't know. But we're going to step out here for a break. I'm with my man, my friend, Coach Mike Brown from Brown Capital. You can check out his website at browncapital.org. Now, again, I'm telling you, he is part of the Bub Report. He does everything, but he's a straight-up guy. that is, has your best interest at heart. As you know, we talk about often, nobody cares about your money as much as you do. Well, Mike Brown gives it the best effort to also care about your money as well. So make sure you check him out at browncapital.org. This is the Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horts. We're going to stop out here for a break, and we'll be back with more with Coach Mike Brown after the break. Browncapital.org and the Bubba Show. We'll be right back.
Affordable health insurance was the promise of Obamacare. But for many, the government mandate caused more problems than it solved. This is Dr. Elena George from Medicine on Call, and I want to tell you about a truly affordable alternative allowed under Obamacare, Liberty HealthShare. Liberty HealthShare bypasses doctor and hospital panels, giving you the freedom to choose. And with a maximum of $500 out-of-pocket per person and 100% coverage up to $1 million per year per occurrence, you can rest assured knowing you and your family are protected. Coverage starts as low as $107 per month and also includes dental, vision, pharmacy, and holistic care. Liberty HealthShare puts you back in charge of your health. Visit them online at libertyoncall.org. Again, for a true affordable alternative to Obamacare, visit libertyoncall.org or call toll-free 1-800-714-6993 today.
What's up, everybody? Bubba here. It's finally here, the long-awaited Bubba Report, bringing you news from all the trading floors across the globe. We've got Scott Cialady, the cow guy, as seen on CNBC, Fox, and Bloomberg. We've got Keith Bliss, CNBC, Fox, and a floor trader at the New York Stock Exchange. We've got the Badger, who writes the hot topics in the political news. We've got myself putting together my own unique indexes that will help you, give you a better idea of what's going on in the market. All you need to do to get a hold of the Bubba Report is go to thebubbashow.org and sign up for the newsletter, or you can email me direct at bubba@thebubbashow.org. We want you to have this report because we've got over 150 years of experience talking about markets, getting ready for the trading, and puts you in the best position to have successful. So email me at bubba@thebubbashow.org to get a copy of your report, or go right to the website, thebubbashow.org. Make sure you get it. It's a must-have for every investor and trader. The Bubba Report. Welcome back to the Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz with my friend, Coach Mike Brown. Mike Brown from browncapital.org. He is Brown Capital. He is a real straight shooter. He does give you an honest outlook and an honest opinion of his views of the markets. So, Mike, what are you seeing here now? You know, you and I have talked about this impending collapse over time, and here's what I'm seeing, and I want to get your views, because I haven't had a chance to talk to you about it, but I think the markets are obviously going lower over time. I do personally believe that the overall top is in for this latest run, but here's what I'm seeing. I see a dramatic divergence between the four major markets that we follow, which would be the Dow, S&P, NASDAQ, and Russell, and then the Dow has been by far the absolute weakest and is really broken down, in my opinion, looking at a chart. The Russell is very close and has been extremely ugly. The S&P has been actually more steady and is dramatically diverged against the Dow, which is its closest relationship. And of course, the NASDAQ, even with the last few days, at the end of last week that it sold off, had been by far the strongest index. But I think that bodes for some problems, especially when you look at the breadth of the market and the highs and the lows and things like that. What are you seeing and what do you think?
Yeah, the NASDAQ obviously has held up the best, but you're starting to see a breakdown in the leaders, whether it be Netflix, Apple obviously has shed, 20 points off of this high of 133. So you're starting to see a breakdown in that as well. We've gone 40-some months without a 10% or better correction. The S&P last week did not hold the 2087 number, which has been the floor that it's bounced off of, and it broke below that. So, yeah, I would be cautious right now. I would be very cautious. Cramer came out last week and said trying to buy this market right now is like trying to catch a falling knife, and I don't disagree with that. I would buy the dips, which has worked for the last 3 years, doesn't appear to be working right now. So, maybe you sell the rips and wait for a better entry point, I think would be the the strategy that we're employing right now. One side of that would be the energy markets. I think that's a place that you can, you're starting to see some of the numbers that came out last week. The earnings are better. I think they're taking a lot of production offline. So I think that's and I've certainly been wrong on this to this point. We were too early in the energy markets. Should have sold the rally in the spring and didn't sell it enough. But I think that's a place that I would be looking at right now.
Well, no, I agree. And you were right the first time. It just sold off. I mean, you had nice profits and they sold off. But, so I do agree that the energy is spot. What's your take of gold here? Are you I know you're not a gold bug, but are you thinking it may be time to put a little bit? I mean, again, I'm not a big advocate of putting a big percentage in gold. I mean, I would never invest more than 5 to 10% of my investment anyways in gold. But are you a fan of gold, and are you a fan at this level?
I've never been a gold bug. I certainly think it's more interesting than it has been for a long time. And I'm of the mindset that we're going to get a black swan event at some point. So I think you could get a tradable rally that happens. And right now, with regard to, I think the world's a very dangerous place. If we don't get one of those with a strong dollar, then gold's going to continue to suffer. Certainly think that there is going to be an event in the next 24, 36 months that may spike gold. So I think you could certainly take a position. I would not make it more than 5% of my portfolio.
Right.
But it's certainly somewhere that you could find some value if that happens. So.
I agree. I mean, again, look at, I said, I don't believe in, first of all, I'm not a guy that believes in gold as an alternative currency anyways, because, that's just, in my opinion, it's just not. I think gold
is the world's too big. There's not enough gold out there.
It's just another commodity that trades. And, I think that even with some of the fear, even with the grease stuff, gold never rallied. I just think that it's a commodity that will rally, and there is a demand for gold, especially in China. But of course, I think China's been liquidating a lot of gold down here because they've got a lot of margin calls with what's going on in their markets. And speaking of China, what's your take of what's going on there? And what did you think of the actions they took about, no short selling? You have to hold for an X amount of period of time. What was your take of that?
Well, it sure reminds you of 2008, the United States, didn't it? When everybody was associating the short sellers, etc. I think you stay out of that market. It's obviously they're trying to manipulate the market and keep it higher, and then they've not been successful. So I would stay away from it. I don't trust it, and don't trust their earnings. So it's a place that they've got their phantom cities. We've talked about that, the ghost cities. There's a great documentary on Vice on HBO that. Where they go through these ghost cities, and it's eerie. I mean, it's like going through Chicago or New York, but there's no people.
Right.
It's almost hard to fathom. But I would say, I think they've got a big problem with the aging population. We're 40 years into the one baby law, and they've got a top heavy population. It's going to be difficult to control. At some point in time, I think there will be a hot war in that region, which would be like I said, the black swan event with regard to gold or the commodity. They're building islands in the South China Sea. I mean, that is certainly antagonistic. So it's a country that I would stay away from right now for sure.
Are you a fan?
I don't trust them. I don't trust their numbers.
Well,
I don't trust their policies.
How can you trust the Communist Party, anyways? I mean, again, are you a fan overall of?
It's a failed doctrine, isn't it? I mean, we tried it in the '70s. The '70s and '80s, obviously, communism was our enemy. We knew who our enemy was, but it's a failed doctrine. I mean, it doesn't work long term. I mean, they call it communism. What it is totalitarianism is what it is in reality. So, I have a problem with it. I have a problem with their doctrines, and I think they're going to be one of our long-term enemies. And I think they're a long-term enemy to liberty and freedom. And that's what we represent in this world. So it's going to be a problem.
Are you a fan of foreign markets in general, other than, let's say, China? Do you look at some of those spaces, or you pretty much stay here? What's your view?
We do look at it, obviously, from a commodity standpoint. We do follow it. We look at it. Right now, I mean, there's a lot of pain because a lot of those commodities are a lot of those economies are commodity-based. So there is a lot of pain there right now. So it's, I think there's going to be, if we get a bounce in the energy space, some of those will play out. But there's a lot of instability in the world right now. It's certainly a far more dangerous world than it's been in our lifetime, in my opinion. The actions of Snowden, certainly, they blinded us from an intelligence capacity. I mean, that guy is a traitor in every sense of the word. He completely blinded our intelligence capabilities. So, with regard to further attacks in this country, we're flying blind. You've got instability in the Middle East. Our allies don't trust us. They don't. They don't believe we'll stand behind them, and we've emboldened our enemies. That's going to be what Obama leaves behind. That's going to be his legacy, is that we're going to have to rebuild the trust of our allies, and our enemies have certainly been emboldened in the last 8 years. So
as you look out into the future, and we have this totally manipulated economies worldwide. I mean, it's just not here; it's everywhere. Does that trouble you at all, that total manipulation?
Oh my gosh, yes. I mean, we're gonna look, my grandchildren, I guess, hopefully I live long enough to know them, but are gonna look back on this period and think, what were they thinking? Kind of like we look back at the Great Depression, where we've got a $19 trillion deficit in this country. We've got to work that off, and I agree with you that. If they do raise rates, it's going to be a token for the simple fact that the United States cannot sustain higher interest rates with that kind of deficit out there right now. The only way we've been able to sustain it is that our debt service is about the same as it was in the late 80s when our national debt was a quarter of what it is now. So because interest rates are, long-term interest rates are 2.5% as opposed to 8.5%, we've been able to sustain that, but if rates were to rise, it's not sustainable. It just isn't. So I think we're going to look back on this period. It was a period of excess, and we're going to have to learn to tighten our belts.
This will be the lost decade when it plays out at the end, and it'll be, related to the political system, our president, and all the things that could have been done to really slide by this whole environment of bad and things that happened. Because, again, we've done a lot of things that could have been easily fixed, and we could be rolling and prospering right now instead of wondering when that black swan event is going to occur. But I'm with my man Mike Brown from browncapital.org. Make sure you check out his website. I'm a big believer. I'm a big fan, and he's also part of the Bubba Report. He is a contributor. But you got to make sure you check out browncapital.org, because he does a great job. And again, you can hear it in his voice. He's the sincerity that he gives you, and the realistic views is about you, not about whether or not you do something with him. So make sure you check him out, browncapital.org. This is the Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horwitz will be right back after the break with more from Coach Mike Brown. Orchestrated by... Welcome back to the Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horwitz, and I'm with my man Mike Brown, Coach Mike Brown of Brown Capital, browncapital.org, and again, a great financial guy, a great planner, and also formerly of the Los Angeles Dodgers, now coaching at Illinois Wesleyan. But so, Mike, one of the things I'm a big fan of and a big advocate of is that people, I have no problem with people having greed issues and want to always get the most. And, nobody likes to sell winners. They like to sell their winners fast and let their losers grind them out. And that usually is one of the problems. But I'm a big fan of learning to hedge your own portfolio so you don't have to make those decisions. And I'm just curious, what are your thoughts on something like that?
No, absolutely. And the options hedges are something that, I do think – people need to employ a professional like yourself, because they are difficult to do if you don't know what you're doing. In a market like we're in right now, where we're just grinding around the same numbers. I mean, when are we flat for the year? I do think that you need to hedge your risk, and it's worthwhile to hire a professional like yourself or the Badger to do that. Right now, had they done that throughout the year, you've been a very good spot and able to take advantage of some of the declines that we've had. Unfortunately, enough people don't do that. So
I'm just a big fan because I just think that it's easier versus trying to guess what to sell and what not to sell. You know, I like building a portfolio and letting it trade. And instead of having to worry about what to get out of, I can just hedge and let the markets do its thing. And I can benefit from either side. And in fact, I can actually accumulate more assets down after this lot because I do collect on my hedge. And that was the same thing I did with, farmers, as I mentioned last week, as I showed them how to hedge because, farmers for sure are naturally bullish. I mean, if you're growing a crop or you're raising cattle or you're raising hogs, you got to be bullish because that's the only way you're going to make any money. But we all have a tendency to not really worry about defending our portfolio. And, if you're 22, maybe not as important. But, now look at all the people, Mike, that are, let's say 60. Okay. Well, not many of them can take a big hit here in their equity portfolio, and because the structure of the system has forced everybody to be in the equity market because there's no place else to go, not many people can afford to take a kind of hit up here now because that's their case money, I call it. That's their living money when they're going to retire, and I think that's one of the things that we are very short-sighted on. What do you think?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, without question, by them taking interest rates down, they forced the retired people into the equity markets, into risk positions, just to earn a monthly income. So you've got a situation set up where, if we were to see, a 30, 40, 50% downturn in the market, that people are going to suffer, people in that age bracket are going to suffer in a way that previous generations had not, because they were not exposed to those equity markets at those late ages. And you've also got the majority of people, their biggest asset is tied up in their 401k. So you're going to see exponential pain in that we had not seen in previous generations. So it's, hedging, if you're over the age of 55, you should be hedging your equity positions without question.
Yeah, I mean, again, I think everybody should do it. But again, I think really, I'm kind of disturbed. And one of the things that bothers me as an educator and as a trader and as, someone, I mean, listen, I just genuinely care about other people. It bothers me that, everybody's being forced into this. And, and that's why we've still got, 80-year-old people working at Walmart because they've lived too long. They've outlived their money, so they need some money to live on. And their Social Security certainly is enough. And I think that becomes a bigger problem. Because when you force people in, and that will be part of the Black Swan event that I think we're talking about as well, is there's a lot of people in the market that can't wait to get out. And if you get interest rates to, 2 or 3%, they'll be gone so fast, they'll be putting their money right back in the bank. And that will also create some slang. What do you think about that?
Yes, for sure. I think that's 4, 5, 6 years away before they get anywhere near those types of interest rates. I mean, you're going to have to see. And I think the tail of the wagon dog is our long-term debt, and that number has got to be brought. They've got to rein that in before you're going to see interest rates normalize. But when that happens, and it will happen at some point, is it 5 years from now, is it 10 years from now? That's a big question. But when it does, when rates do normalize, then absolutely, there'll be a giant sucking noise, and there'll be money leaving the market for safer pastures.
So without giving me specific names, because I know you can't do that, but I know you're looking at the energy space a little bit. What are you kind of thinking just in general? What are the areas you're looking for to maybe put some dough in? If not, are you thinking more cash right now? What are some of the things you look at?
Right now, we're looking at cash. I mean, we're entering a seasonal period of the year, which is difficult. It's been a difficult year to begin with. So right now, I would be looking if I either in the energy market where I think there is some value, or cash, and just waiting. You know, be patient for the next couple months, and I think you'll be rewarded with some lower prices.
And were you concerned last week when Disney, you know, I said on air, I happen to have been on live on air, and I said Disney was going down. I didn't care what the numbers were. They were going down. They were way overvalued at that point. And are you, I think Disney, you know, they're pretty bit like a stalwart. They're kind of like an Apple, right? I mean, a good company, but maybe they were a little bit overvalued. But are you concerned, does a company like Disney that get destroyed like that off of a mediocre earnings number, does that bother you?
Yeah, I mean, it's certainly concerning because, that is a good asset. You know, is it overpriced? Maybe at this point. But, I mean, look at their long-term assets, especially in an era where content has changed. Like, you're starting to see that where when companies disappoint, they're getting taken to the woodshed again. And, you know, that was not the case the last couple of years. So I think you need to really look at what you own, why you own it, and if you're not willing to be in that name for 3 to 5 years, then I would probably look to get it out of my portfolio.
And it's funny because, you know, I think Apple, you know, again, I'm a fan of Apple. I think it's a good company. I got an iPhone. I'm not a big fan of the watch, but, you know, again, I like the company. I think they're solid. I don't think they're going anywhere soon. But I do think they're probably going to come down back to probably about 100 or 105. And a guy said to me, well, but wait, you're saying they're overpriced. They only got a 13 PE ratio. I said, yeah, but in comparison to everybody else in their industry, they're higher. So, you know, just 13 doesn't mean that it's low. 13 just means that's what they are. But in comparison, they're probably higher than the others. And that's one thing that I think people don't understand when they look from a fundamental standpoint, that, you know, it's really more comparison to the industry that you're in, not the actual number itself. What do you think?
Yeah, that's for sure. And, you know, we've seen certainly in previous downturns in the market, obviously, you know, low PE numbers have been a value trap. I like Apple's prospects long term. I think the ecosystem that they've created. But we're certainly, you know, again, I think cash would be a good place to be in. You know, you may see a lower price on it. You may not. You know, it may go the other direction as well. But for right now, I would be very, very cautious.
Well, I'm investing in Sealy and Serta to buy mattresses so that I can put my cash there, because that's where I think it belongs at the moment. I do think there's an event coming. Obviously, there's always something to buy. You can look at the commodity space, but other things. But Mike Brown, as always, it's great to have you on air. I appreciate your candor and everything you're able to do. And it's make sure you guys check out browncapital.org. Mike Brown, thank you so much for being here, my friend.
Oh, thanks for having me, Bubba. Always enjoy it.
This is the Bubba Show, and we were visiting with Mike Brown. And again, I think you have to appreciate, you know, who he is. Middle America, grew up in Middle America, and really understands the value and middle-class values. And I urge you to check out his website and check him out, because I think you'll find that he can do a world of good for many of you out there, because you always get, and I know this the straight story, and he's got a famous saying, which I'll let him tell you himself. But this has been the Bubba Show, and we were spending our day with Mike Brown from browncap.org. Make sure you check out TheBubbaShow.org. A lot of great articles. The Bubba Report's out. Make sure you get yourself subscribed to that. And that'll do it for today. We'll see you back here tomorrow. Same time, same station. The Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz. We'll see you tomorrow, everybody. Thank you so much. On a cloudy day.
Revolutionary talk for revolutionary times. Liberty Talk FM.